Intelligent Transportation Systems Podcast. Hello, we're back again with the ITS Podcast, episode 4 for August 2013. I'm Javier Sánchez Medina from the Intelligent Transportation Systems Society. We have put all from us to prepare this new episode, including a very entertaining interview with Professor Katsuhiro Nishinari from the University of Tokyo in Japan. Have you ever been caught into a traffic jam? Then you should carefully listen to this episode on Nishinari's new concept called Jamology. We have also some fresh news from an astonishing historic accomplishment regarding autonomous driving that has just happened in Parma, Italy. Finally, we have also a transportation in history mini section talking about the ancestor of modern railways, the wagonway. So if you're ready, let's start!
This is the news mini section for episode 4, August 2013. Last July 12, there has been an astonishing milestone regarding intelligent transportation systems applied science. The University of Parma spin-off company BizLab, led by Professor Alberto Broggi, has delighted the scientific community with a new challenge they call Proud 2013. Using their latest autonomous car Brave, BizLab organized a new unique experiment, including downtown driving in regular traffic, negotiating traffic lights, pedestrian crossings, artificial bumps, roundabouts, and freeway mergings. They sent a car from the lab at the Parma University campus on a 21-minute trip to the town hall completely unmanned. Professor Broggi will be keynote speaker at next IEEE VTC 2013 Fall Conference at Las Vegas, USA. He will be sharing the juicy details on this recent event. If you want more information or checking out some fancy videos on this, please visit this podcast website. Finally, one short call for the next IEEE ITCS 2013 conference, next October in The Hague. If you are planning attending this fantastic conference, please remember you can still register. And if you already registered, perhaps you are interested on extending your registration by picking any workshop or tutorial at the Workshops and Tutorials Day. It is really worthy, including topics so challenging like simulation-based dynamic traffic assignment, green railway, wireless charging electric vehicles, swarm intelligence in air transportation, or surge crowded traffic management for extreme congestion. Links to all these can be found at this podcast website.
Transportation in history. From the 49 seconds long L'arrivée d'un train à la ciudad by the Lumière brothers in 1895 to the Hogwarts Express at Harry Potter, train has been very present all throughout cinema. And do you know why? Because trains are cool. After their invention, the 3,000-mile journey from New York to California was dramatically reduced from 1 or 2 months to just a few days. But when did the trains appear? They are usually linked to the Industrial Revolution at the early 19th century in the Great Britain, when the steam motors became widely available. But their roots are way older than that. The wagonway or tramway, the father of the railway. If you drive a wheeled cart over a muddy road after a number of charts, you'll find out that the chart can go easier by the average trace left by the previous charts. Being that the reason or not, it seems that the Greeks are to blame for their invention. The earliest evidence of the wagonway is the larger than 6 km long Diolkos wagonway, which transported boats across the Isthmus of Corinth from around the year 600 BC. Wheeled vehicles pulled by men or animals ran in limestone groups, preventing the wagons from leaving the intended route. Apparently, that wagonway was in use for over 6 centuries. The first horse-drawn wagonways are believed to came to light firstly in ancient Greece, Mod, and various parts of the Roman Empire, using tax-drawn tracks. But they fell into disuse as many other things when the Roman Empire collapsed. The earliest known record of a railway in medieval Europe was a primitive mine track pictured in a stained glass window dating from around the year 1350. That window was built for the Freiburg Cathedral in Germany. After that, there are several records in Europe of the use of wagonways mainly for minery. In 1515, Cardinal Matthäus Lang wrote a description of a Reichssack, a funicular railway at the Hohensalzburg Castle in Salzburg, Austria. The line originally used wooden rails and a hemp haulage rope, and was operated by human or animal power through a thread wheel. That line still exists, of course in an updated version. So it looks like Mozart was not the only brilliant mind back in the honorable memory of that beautiful part of the Austrian Alps. Are you waiting for Professor Sonnichiner's interview? Well, stop waiting, it starts now. We hope you enjoy it. Hello, we're with Professor Katsuhiro Nishinari from the University of Tokyo. He is professor at the Department of Aeronautics and Astronautics and researcher at the Research Center for the Advanced Science and Technology in the University of Tokyo. Hello, Professor Nishinari. Can you introduce yourself to our audience?
Hello. Thank you very much for inviting me to this program. I have been studying traffic flow for about 20 years by using mathematics and physics since I get a PhD in theoretical mathematics and physics. But now I'm very interested in the engineering application of the theory in order to solve the traffic jam.
Professor Nishinari has recently been keynote speaker at the IEEE Intelligent Transportation Systems Society-sponsored Intelligent Vehicle Symposium that was held in Gold Coast, Australia last June. Professor, your talk was titled Introduction to Jamology Toward Solution of Traffic Jam. Could you please explain to our listeners what is that new concept, jamology?
Yes, it's a very new word that I created several years ago, and you cannot find this word in your dictionary. It's an interdisciplinary research about traffic jams. It's ranging from not only vehicles, but also pedestrians, ants and fishes, and also inventories in the factory, by using mathematics and physics.
Professor, can you tell us how much jamology differ from traditional traffic management theory from the conceptual point of view, please?
Yes. Yeah, there are several differences. First, we learn from nature. For example, I study ants traffic. And ants, we found that ants does not show traffic jam because they have enough headway in a congested state. And also, we study physics, and from the physics, we have the concept of phase transition from free to traffic jam. And I found that in the phase transition region, there is a metastable state, which is a kind, we can prevent jam before it occurs if we know the metastable states. And also, I use mathematics. We use ASIP, which is called asymmetric simple exclusion process. It's a kind of the generalization of the queuing theory. So if we use ASIP, then we can predict a more accurate way, the rings of the queue and so on.
Interesting. So I'm getting this right. Can a single car dissolve a traffic jam? Is that what you are proposing?
Yeah, it's a good question. And it depends on the situation, but if the traffic jam in front is very small, then it is possible. We call such driving as slow-in driving. I mean that it takes a longer headway in the upstream of the traffic flow, and the such headway works as a kind of deposit. And we can drive with constant speed with less acceleration if we use such headway by consuming the headway in approaching the traffic jam. Then we can reduce the fluctuation. Jamming wave, Zamenhof wave, is damped. So that's my theory.
And these cars could them be driven by a human being, or should they be necessarily be driven autonomously? I mean, can a regular driver learn to avoid producing that traffic jams? Or in other words, will we one day be fined for producing traffic jams, Professor?
Yeah, if you are an experienced driver, then maybe it is possible. And if not, then maybe the traffic information is needed to doing such driving. And also, the timing of the starting, slowing driving is very difficult. So we need a kind of car navigation system for notifying each drivers when you should start such driving. And also, the education is very important. So I start such education system by using the video, simple video, in the driving school or high school. And finally, I don't like restricting people by making laws. But so I believe they learn the merit of this driving if they do. So that's what I'm hoping in the future.
I'm just curious, have you tried on road? Has this been proved with real traffic?
Yes, a few years ago we did an experiment in the road, and we have done successfully. And the result was very good, and we had the traffic jam with velocity 15 km per hour, but after we did such driving, then the average speed becomes 80. So we can dissolve the traffic jam.
Thank you, Professor. We're not making a short break, but we'll be back in just a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Hello again. We have listeners from every corner of the world, and that's great. But we need more. Why don't you tell your friends at Facebook or Twitter to follow us? We need to grow a big community of friends. And we desperately need your feedback. You can comment each post at our website. We need to know how we are doing and how can we do better. Are you interested in a specific topic or person to have in our show? Then just tell us. Thanks for being there. Let's get back to that interesting interview with Professor Nishinari. Stay tuned.
We're back with Professor Nishinari from the University of Tokyo, talking about cars that can behave in such a way that they can dissolve the costful and highly pollutant traffic jams. Professor, could this concept be extended to urban traffic?
Yes, I think it works if the number of the traffic signal is very small. And since in the urban traffic, I think that the main cause of the traffic jam is the signals. So clever operation of signals is more important than doing such driving.
That's interesting. Do you foresee our future highways patrolled by a kind of junk cleaning cars? I think maybe in the near future, I hope we will have a significant portion of vehicles unmanned. So do you think we will eventually need in these junk cleaning cars?
Yes, I'm asking the highway companies and also stakeholders to do that such kind of jam absorbing driving when jam is going to occur. So I expect in the future we have such driving cars in the highway. And we cannot say, unfortunately, the necessary portion of the cars yet, but I think 2 or 3% is enough for doing such driving.
That's incredible. How about, I have another question, how about driver's social behavior influence?
Yeah.
I mean that, for instance, in Spain, if you ever drive by a Spanish highway, I don't know, you may have noticed that driver's curiosity makes them to slow down when passing a nearby recent accident. Do you think that this kind of country-dependent driving behavior has any influence in your model?
Yeah, it's very similar to Japan. And I think that the driver should be patient to do that driving because they should slow down to take a longer headway, even though they can speed up. So there is a famous saying that slow and steady wins the race. That's what I want to say in this driving. So Maybe it depends on the company, but the important thing is the driver should be patient for doing that.
So they have to trust into your model.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I have a final question for you, Professor. Do you find it easy to develop this kind of research in Japan? I mean, can you test these things down at the street easily? Is the Japanese legislation flexible enough regarding intelligent transportation systems research? I ask you this because it is a current usual headache for researchers on ITS all around the globe.
Yeah, it's not easy. And it takes a long time for negotiating stakeholders, also in Japan. In our cases, it takes 10 months to do the experiment. So, but our government said that recently that they will remove of some restrictions in many areas like economy and health and so on. So I expect their changes. Then we'll have a special, for example, special area where we can do the experiment with less preparation and negotiations.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I hope many governments all around the globe imitate that behavior.
Yeah, I hope so, yeah.
Well, I think this is all. It's been a really interesting interview, Professor. I think our listeners will be thankful to you for your insights. And thanks for joining us and sharing it.
Yeah, I also thank you for interesting questions and discussions.
Okay, goodbye, Professor.
Yeah, bye. Thank you.
Well, that was fantastic. We hope you have enjoyed it as much as we had. And now we are closing this episode. Please visit our website in itsp.ciceai.com. We really need your feedback. Please go and tell us your thoughts. This podcast is sponsored by the IEEE Intelligent Transportation Systems Society, website designed and managed by the Innovation Center for the Information Society at the University of Las Palmas de Gran Canaria in Spain. Soundtrack developed by Rubicon, language advisory by Manuel Arbelo. We'll be back soon, bringing you again the cutting edge of science at the Intelligent Transportation Systems podcast. Thanks for listening, and drive safe!